Welcome back, everybody, to After Hours Let's Talk. I'm your host, Shorty For Real, and this is the space where we slow down, we stop pretending we're okay, where we tell the truth about things we usually carry alone. And tonight's episode is a heavy one, but it's also a necessary one. We're talking about grief, not the kind that fits neatly into a few weeks of sympathy cards, but the kind that stays, the kind that changes you, the kind that quietly rewrites who you are. Grief doesn't just come from death. It comes from losing people, losing versions of yourself, losing futures you thought you were going to have. And tonight, we're not talking about how to get over it. We're talking about how to live with it. My guest tonight is John Dedekis, author, teacher, storyteller, and someone who understands grief not just as a concept, but as a lived experience. So, you guys grab a seat, grab something to drink, and let's dive deep into this conversation. But first, we're going to go into our what's on your mind tonight. And our listener wrote in, it's been 3 years since I lost them, and I still feel like I'm not who I used to be. Everyone thinks I should be over it by now. Is something wrong with me? And that's a good question, because to be honest with you, I feel the same way. I have just lost my grandma a year ago on Thanksgiving Day, and she was a very big part of my life. And I do feel sometimes that people think that I should be okay. I should be getting over it. I should be moving on. And that's just simply not the case. I feel like when you've lost someone, especially someone very close to you, there's nothing wrong with you. You're going to go through all of the emotions that you're going to go through. And you have to let those emotions out. You can't hold them in. You can't push them down. Because it hurts. It hurts even more. I know that's true for me. It hurts more when I don't allow myself to feel what I need to feel. And I do find myself getting very frustrated with people because I feel like they don't understand, or they're forcing me to move quicker than I'm able to move to deal with my loss. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with you. I want you to feel comfortable in yourself, feel comfortable in your feelings, and know that it's okay to experience them, to go through them and deal with them. John, would you like to say something to the listener?
Well, I agree with what you've said. Your introduction was very eloquent and accurate. Boy, it really goes beyond the grief cards and all those kinds of things. That's just the beginning, and it's a blur. And the real work comes, you know, when everyone's gone home and you're alone. And I think your viewer said that, you know, I'm not who I used to be. And, you know, you're never going to be the same. You know, you're different now. You are part of your identity is tempered and informed by the person that you lost. And that's okay. Because I think what would probably make you feel even worse is if, you know, you kind of, you know, just brushed yourself off and go, well, that's over with. Now let's go on with being normal. You're different. And part of the grief experience and the grief process is figuring out how to go forward with this new identity. And it can be done. And it can be done with hope and purpose and joy even. It's not like you're emotionally crippled for life. You're just different. And I'll say one more thing, and that is to realize that what you're going through now, which is so powerful, 5 years from now, you are going to be in a position where you can be able to offer encouragement to someone else for whom grief is fresh. So what you said is really important. You need to feel those feelings and understand them and incorporate them and move forward so that you'll be in a position to help others later on.
Yes. Thank you for that, John. So we're going to formally welcome you into the After Hours Lounge. So thank you so much for being here with us today to talk about this subject. It's something that we far too often push to the side and shy away from speaking about because we literally have no clue what to say. I feel.
Man. Oh, you think? That's all totally right. True.
Right. So if you don't mind just introducing yourself and let our listeners know who you are.
I'm John Dudakis. I'm from La Crosse, Wisconsin, along the Mississippi River on Wisconsin's west coast. I had a 45-year career in journalism. I covered the White House when Reagan was president. I was one of Wolf Blitzer's editors at CNN. And during the time I was at CNN, I started writing novels. And so for the last 20 years, I've written 6 mystery suspense thrillers. And all of them, interestingly, have grief and loss as part of my protagonist's life. Because, you know, the very first novel begins when she discovers the aunt who's, you know, who raised her from infancy. It's an apparent suicide and was taken from my own life. My sister took her life by suicide, carbon monoxide poisoning. I was on the scene that day. And so when it came time for me to write fiction, I moved toward the pain, appropriated it, and then used it cathartically, I think you could say, and therapeutically in my novels. And so all of my novels have grief and loss and, incidentally, journalism as a subplot.
Nice. Well, thank you so much for being here with us tonight. So as we move into this conversation, we were just listening to the submission from the listener, and you were stating, you know, you are not yourself. And I can definitely agree with that. You know, I feel like a part of me has been lost or taken away as like this empty place. And I don't know how to feel it. And I think we all feel that way sometimes. You don't know what to do with that. It's like a piece of you has been taken and you're never going to get that back. But being able to navigate through grieving and working that into your life so that you can still be capable and able to do things, but also grieve in a healthy way. What can we tell the listeners, like just moving through that?
I think one thing is that when we contemplate life without that person or that job or pet or, you know, friendship, there's, I think, a certain degree of fear involved. You know, how am I going to navigate this without that person? And I think it's important to face our fears. And, you know, you talked about doing this in a healthy way. That's so important. And I think part of emotional health means being realistic, you know, facing the fears and acknowledging that things are going to be different. But, you know, and the interesting thing is you want to have courage in your life, but courage doesn't just show up. It's a byproduct of facing your fears. And so one of the things I tell my writing students is that fear is a byproduct from or courage is a byproduct from facing your fears. It's going forward in spite of the fears. It's harnessing the fears. It's like the guys who stormed the beaches of Normandy in World War II. Were they afraid? They were terrified, but they went forward anyway. And that's the definition of courage. So just face life. It's okay. It's going to be fine.
Right. Yeah, I think that's the biggest part. That's the hardest part to do is to find a way to keep moving forward and keep pushing and not find yourself drowning in your sadness and getting stuck in a place.
Yeah. And I think it's important to drown yourself in your sadness for a while. Because we tend to anesthetize the pain in our society. And there's nothing wrong with feeling those emotions. I think that that's human. I mean, when my son died, I mean, I was a zombie, you know, for at least a couple of months. And it was a blur. And I think that that's okay. And I think that what will help you emerge from that is when you realize and you go, I've been here a little long. It's time for me to move forward. I'm not sure how to do that, but I'm going to. And you just get out of bed and you move forward, and the feelings follow. You know, the courage follows, but definitely feel those feelings. And I think guys especially need to be able to give themselves permission to cry. It's not a form of weakness. Yes. It's a form of emotional strength. It's an emotional safety valve, because the pain is not going to go away. But if you keep it bottled up inside, it corrodes. It's corrosive. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, just about every mass murderer is a guy. And my hunch is that what's happened is the pain and the anger and the sense of loss has been bottled up inside to the point where the tears have become bullets. That's an extreme example, but that's where it goes if you don't start to navigate those feelings. You know, and I suggest talking to a professional, a grief counselor, someone whose job it is to sit and listen, to see you and allow you to be able to articulate what it is that's going on inside. I think that's a healthy way of dealing with it.
Right. You're absolutely right. I think a lot of men have been told a lot to, you know, hold their feelings in, don't cry, it's not manly, you know, that's for girls, or, you know, they're always pushed to be strong and not show their emotions because it's looked at as a weakness. And it's really not, because we're all human and we all have to be able to express and let things out.
Yes. That, I mean, if you're talking about wanting to be a strong guy, then what's stronger than being vulnerable? You know, it takes guts to be willing to admit that you're hurting. That's not a weakness. That's a strength. And a lot of other people will be given permission as well, you know, to realize that they're hurting too. That's a strength. That takes courage to do that. And if you're a guy and you want to be tough, show courage. Be courageous. Show your emotions. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
Absolutely. Right. It is. It takes a lot. Takes a lot of strength to open up and be vulnerable with people, no matter who you are. Absolutely. And I think we need to teach our kids that and our young men that a lot more, you know, to be open and learn how to deal with their emotions in a more healthy, positive way and not so negatively. Because I think we all veer towards negative. We like to crash out and we go towards things that are very unhealthy for us when we're going through things. And and I think grief is one of those things that will drive, and I notice it drives people to alcoholism and drugs and unhealthy.
To anesthetizing the pain, to numb it.
Right.
And that doesn't deal with it.
Right. It doesn't. It does exactly what it says. It numbs it for a while, makes you feel better for a little bit, but eventually it comes back out and you still have to deal with it.
Yeah, so, exactly.
And I know I'm, and we talk about death and, you know, it is losing people, but also when we're dealing with losing a part of our life, like we're jobs and friends and people that haven't necessarily passed, you know, away, but are no longer a part of our lives anymore. I mean, those things are also grieving processes. You go through those same grieving feelings when you've lost a relationship that may have lasted for a very long time. You know, you have to sit in those feelings. And like I said, I think my biggest thing was being able to know that I can go through the feelings that I needed to go through for as long as I needed to go through them, but not find myself stuck there. Like, I was very afraid of becoming stuck and not being able to do anything because I was allowing so much of the emotion to take over me. Like, I didn't want to get up. I didn't want to do anything. I have children. I'm like, I can't get stuck here. It's okay to feel
how I'm feeling. How did you get beyond it?
So for me, I created a routine in my life. I started getting up and I just set a whole schedule for myself. I kept myself busy. I found that being busy helped me work through what I needed to work through, and having a time set for things. I will wake up at a certain time, get ready for work, sit down, have a cup of coffee, and think about how I'm feeling for the day and motivate myself. Come home, I'll do, you know, my cleaning and cooking, and I'll sit down with my thoughts. I did start doing therapy as well to help me get through the emotions, because I was very confused. I didn't understand. I couldn't really put my feelings into words and really express how I was actually feeling.
Why was that important?
It was important for me because I felt like I needed to be able to understand each feeling and where it was coming from and why I was having it. So I was dealing with anger, and I was dealing with a lot of anger and sadness, and I was hurt, and I was mixing them all together was the problem. I was angry about two things that happened with my grandmother's death. I was angry with myself, but I was also angry with her death in itself because of how she passed. And I was combining those two. And then I was sad because I was feeling guilty as well. So I had
I understand you correctly, what you're saying is that what you were feeling was sort of overwhelming. There was just a lot going on, and what you needed to do in order to manage it was to unpack it, to kind of look at the different strands of it in a way that made it doable, that made it possible for you to understand it in its separate components and move forward.
Right. I had to separate all the feelings and unraveling, because it was very overwhelming for me. And I shut down into myself. I didn't want to do or be around anyone, talk to anybody. I just kind of sucked into the shell and was in my head.
Did you have support? Did you have emotional support? Were there people in your life who were supportive and helpful?
I did. I had my mother and my siblings, but the problem with that was that my mother was doing her own grieving. That was her mom.
Her own grieving.
you know, my siblings as well were dealing with stuff. So we tried as much as we could to support each other, but it wasn't as helpful as I thought it would be, because we all had a different relationship and a different experience with my grandmother. So the way I was feeling wasn't really comparing and relating to everyone else's experience. And we were hurting in different ways. And we kind of weren't making sense to each other.
I had an experience after my son died. My wife and I were in the car together, and we had a CD was on. And the song came on, and Cindy hit the button to advance it to the next track. And I remember saying, "How come you did that?" And she said, "Every time I hear that song, it makes me cry." The interesting thing is, it was the same song that when I heard it, I would hit repeat because it made me cry. It was the same song, the same emotional reaction, but a different way of dealing with it. And I think that was when I realized that she and I were going to be dealing with this separately. We actually went to grief counseling, but not together. We had separate counselors. And I think that's what enabled us to get through it and have our marriage survive. I mean, we're still together after almost 48 years. And I think the reason was that because we were both grieving the same loss, but in a different way, we needed our own separate support systems from people, professionals, who weren't emotionally invested in us.
Right. And I think that's what I have experienced. And I think it's very important when people are going through that grieving process, even with your support system that you do have around you, for you to understand how you're grieving and for them to understand how you're grieving. I learned that it is very different. Everybody doesn't grieve the same. They don't go through everything the same way. And it makes it harder. And I found out we were clashing a lot because it was different emotions.
Oh, I mean, husbands and wives can probably be the worst enemies because it's like, you know, you're not doing it right. Snap out of it. You know, right. Do it this way. That's not helpful.
Right. It's not. And I learned, like, you have to sit and you got to listen to people. My biggest thing for me during my grieving process was I needed someone to sit and listen to what I was telling them that I needed. And no one was listening. And that frustrated me
right.
so much.
Oh, they're offering platitudes, right?
Right. Telling me how to do it.
Yeah.
Or they did it this way. And it's like, I'm telling you what I need. And you keep telling me how I should be. And it just wasn't working.
I was going to say, I've heard what's helpful in a situation like that. If you come across someone who's grieving or in any way venting, you know, ask them, what do you need? Do you need to be helped? Do you need to be heard? Or do you need to be hugged? Mm-hmm. And often people just need to be heard.
Yes.
You know, but we tend to try to fix it as what you were describing. And sometimes we just need to let it out. And someone needs to bear witness.
Right. And I've learned that. I had to learn it. I went through some trying times and I expressed
that
a lot.
And yet you're smiling. Look at you.
I am. But I did learn, like I've learned to be more considerate of when people are telling me what they need from me because I had to go through it and learn it the hard way. And it messed up some relationships because it's like I was voicing what I needed. A lot of times I just wanted to be around people, but not interact. I just wanted to know people were there, but I didn't want to interact with anybody. And I think that was hard for everyone to know that because they want to interact with me. They want to do these things, but it's like, no, just leave me alone. But you're here.
How long ago was this loss?
So she died a year ago. It was on Thanksgiving of 2024. So
yeah. So it's still fresh, but you've gone a whole year. All the firsts have passed, and you're moving forward.
Yes, absolutely. And it gets easier. I feel like it gets easier every day. You know, got to take it one day at a time. But I know I found different ways to help me cope. You know, I like to, when I am getting in those moments where I'm thinking about her and things like that, I sit and I listen to music that she used to enjoy. And I look through pictures that I have of her.
How are you a different person now?
For me, I think I changed in a way of I set a lot of boundaries. I was more of a person that kind of just did everything and let a lot of things happen in life. And my grandma was really strong. So she, you know, she was always whatever she said it was. And she did what she said she was going to do. She never let up. So it changed me to a point where I speak up more, I stand my ground more, I set boundaries, and I don't allow people to run over me because that
was her
biggest
thing. Like her. You're more like her.
Right. I talked out more. I said, you know, she was a person I liked to be real and honest with you. So she told you exactly how she felt and what she thought. No matter how it made you feel, you know, she was very honest. So I have become more of that in my life.
Wow, that's interesting.
All right, you guys. So we are going to go into our quote of the night. Our quote states that grief is not a problem to be solved. It is a love that has nowhere to go. Just let that guy sit with you for a little while. You know, because maybe the goal isn't to let go. Maybe the goal is to learn how to carry love differently. And I wholeheartedly believe that, you know, you never want to let it go, but you do have to adjust how you now show love when you're grieving because you can't give it physically anymore, but you can express it in other ways. So, and would you like to add on to that, John?
Well, I just want to reinforce what you said. I mean, you know, the what you're doing is maybe even inadvertently, but you are honoring, you know, her memory by becoming more like her. So in a sense, she lives on.
Right. Absolutely. All right, you guys. So to our listeners tonight, if you're grieving, you're not broken. You're not behind. You are not alone. You are learning how to live in a world that has been changed. And that takes courage, even on the days you can barely get out of bed. So you guys, please take a deep breath, breathe, relax, and remember that everything is going to be all right. Just continue to push forward and show your love and your honor through all of the great things and positive things that you do to honor that person, that thing, that place. So until next time, you guys, you have a beautiful, beautiful night. And remember that the night always has something to say.
Amen.